Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Bigs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you always have the story, and you're always on the story. We were talking about the running game. We talked about the main figures in it. Obviously, you've got the offensive line, and everybody wondering what's happening there. But you also got to figure out what role Shane Waldron is playing in this. We were told there was great versatility there when they hired him. Will he be versatile this week? We talked about the idea that Simo, Chris Morgan, is the running game coordinator. And I don't know if that's any different than when he was just the offensive line coach, if it's anything other than a title. But how do you separate what his role is versus the offensive coordinator's role versus whether or not the players can play?
Yeah, that's well, I think to separate it, you probably need a little more time, mm-hmm. right? You need a larger sample size. And you hope that they can get on the same page, because up there yesterday, you know, everybody's, hey, we're not far off. Going to require some little more communication, some of the details. And, you know, this they've been able to run the ball in the past, right, with a lot of these offensive linemen. Now, the quarterback provided a boost, no question about that, and some of the rushing statistics. And that's one of the things I wondered about in this offseason was, you know, what will this rushing offense look like without Justin Fields at quarterback? They've been pretty darn good. A couple of years ago, they led the league in rushing, right? What will it look like without number one out there? And, well, it's looked bad through two games, but this is the spot here to get it going, guys. The Colts are 32nd in the league against the run. They've given up 477 yards rushing through the first 2 weeks. The last time an NFL team gave up more rushing yardage through the first two games than that, you got to go back to the Colts when they were in Baltimore in 1978. And they gave up, it was obscene, like 580 rushing yards through the first two games of that season. So that's how bad they've been stopping the run. The following week, they've got the Rams. Right now, they're 30th in the league against the run. And the week after that, not that the Bears are looking ahead or can afford to look ahead, but the week after that, it's the Carolina Panthers. They're 31st in the league defending the run. So in the next 3 weeks, the Bears have the three teams that are worst at defending the run right now in the entire league. Maybe they play the Bears and they shoot up in those rankings, maybe the Bears get the run game figured out.
So Matt Eberflus announced no changes would be made on the offensive line. Brad, do you suspect that's because he wants to stick with his group because of the schedule, as you just mentioned, invites some opportunity here? Or is it because Tevin Jenkins is on the injured list with a deep thigh bruise?
Yeah, or it's like they just don't have a lot of great options. You know, their experienced depth guys are on IR, and Ryan Bates and Larry Borum. I'm sure those clamoring for Matt Pryor to be in the starting lineup have seen him play an awful lot in the past. That's a little bit of sarcasm there. Yeah, the Jenkins injury complicates it a little bit, but if they truly believe it's a communication thing and they're just off a little bit, yeah, you go with continuity. This is a team that rolled out, I believe it was 9 different starting combinations on the offensive line a year ago, and 9 different starting combinations in the 2022 season. That's a vicious cycle that they'd like to get out of. So they're going to opt for some continuity this week, provided that Tevin can make it back on the field in time for Sunday's game down in Indianapolis, and you see where they're at. But if they can get the ground game going, you feel like that's going to open up some things in terms of play action, where Caleb, you know, hits the top of his drop and lets it rip, and then maybe you see some explosive plays, and perhaps it just takes, you know, two series where they look like they're really clicking to kind of help everyone get their feet under them. And listen, are they going to score on every possession? No, but make it start looking like, okay, this is going in the right direction. Because right now you look at it and you're like, my goodness, what are they doing right?
Well, you know, the answer to that is fairly obvious. You know, they play good special teams and they're playing good defense. And this is a team that will give you the ball. This is a quarterback that has given the ball away. So maybe that helps them. But, you know, you think about it, Brad. If it wasn't for good field position, they probably don't score a touchdown in that game. They managed to get a touchdown. Other than that, they got two 50-yard field goals. That's not – I mean, I respect the fact the guy can hit from 53 and 54 yards. That doesn't say much about anything they're producing on offense.
No, not at all. And against a defense that I think when we get to the end of the season, Houston's going to – it's going to be okay. They've got some real talent up front in terms of rushing the passer off the edge. The last couple seasons, that secondary has really struggled, and they made some moves this offseason. So we'll see where Houston's at. Heck, you don't even need to wait till the end of the season. You know, you get to late October, early November, get a pretty good idea of where they're at. But it was a road game. It was loud. It was the first Sunday night game at that stadium, I want to say, since 2019. So the Texans fans were juiced up for that. And that made it a little bit difficult. That's one of the reasons you saw the Bears struggle at times with the silent count, the four false starts. They've got to get that cleaned up. They've got to expect a loud crowd once again at Lucas Oil Stadium.
What did you make of the Caleb Williams press conference yesterday, the first time after a loss? And did you agree with him that the biggest problem with maybe pass protection and the amount of blitzes that they were unable to handle was related to communication?
I thought he was fine yesterday. I thought he was solid. If there's frustration, there's going to be frustration, right? They want to be a well-oiled machine, but it doesn't look like that's anything that's kind of weighing him down. Yeah, communication's a big part of it, and it's communication across the board. Like, you look at that one play where Cole Kmet comes in motion and it tries to block the edge, and Caleb gets sacked pretty quick. That's a called running play. There's an RPO there. They're run blocking on that play, and Caleb was trying to set up a little bubble to the opposite side. Well, the ball's got to come out right away because you've got to have the understanding that your tight end came in motion and he's going to be responsible for blocking the monster on the edge, and you can't hold on to the ball there. So I think it's communication. It's figuring some of these things out, but it's also one-on-one. Like, look at Darnell Wright. Like, you know, I think it was Hunter takes a hard step inside, or it could have been Anderson. They were both all over the place. Takes a hard step inside and then goes around him on the edge, and it looked like Darnell got caught in quicksand there. So that's not communication. That's execution. And that's, you know, sticking with the fundamentals of your job, which was one of the things that Eberflus kind of, you know, kept going back to yesterday was them zeroing in on some of the fundamentals on the practice field to be better this next time out.
Kind of bummed to see Andrew Billings on the injury report, just because he has emerged as just an unbelievable force in the middle of that defense. I think that when you look at him, we've talked about the value of the player. He might be the most underrated or underappreciated player on that defense that plays such an essential role.
Oh, I agree completely. Fortunately, we're looking at limited for Billings. Like, and I mean, that's a tough guy for them there. Who knows? I think what you have to do to get your body ready for Sunday. What you don't want is some kind of nagging injury, you know. And I will say this, but Billings was fantastic from the start last season for the Bears. Definitely earned that in-season contract extension. But I think it's probably fair to say that, you know, somewhere around November maybe, there was probably about a 3-4 game stretch maybe at the most where, you know, he didn't show up as much, and I think he was probably a little bit tired. You know, they don't want to have to lean on him so heavily every Sunday that he's less effective for a stretch later on in the season. But he's been good. I think Trevon Dexter's been good. And, you know, I look at the injury report, and Kevin's the one that kind of jumps out at you. Obviously, the Keenan Allen situation is a big unknown right now. But with Billings being limited on a Wednesday, I would, unless that was an injury that happened near the end of practice yesterday, I think I would feel relatively confident that he'll be in a good position by Sunday.
Brad, according to ESPN Sports and Info, 69 touchdown passes through two games, week two, is the lowest total, the fewest number since 2006. A rookie quarterback has yet to throw a touchdown pass. You look at the designed runs, accordingly, 41% is the highest number or highest percentage since 2008. What's going on in the league? Is it because so many young quarterbacks are being rushed to play? So many young quarterbacks are maybe erratic and offenses are way behind the defenses? Or is it just a product of lousy preseasons and not having those emphasized? I'm trying to figure out exactly why the offense is way behind the defense around the league.
Well, I think you're seeing the defenses finally sort of catch up to defending these passing games. What have you seen a trend toward for, I mean, probably 20 years now, is the smaller, more athletic linebacker, right? The linebacker that can match and carry in zone coverage and help out defending against the pass. You know, you do not see those huge linebackers much anymore. People want guys that can cover ground there. So you're seeing schematically more two high shells. So, you know, however it's going to look, cover two, cover four, whatever, you're seeing defensive coordinators want to prevent the explosive play. The game's become about getting explosive plays on offense and preventing them on defense. And the Bears have done an excellent job of preventing them. They haven't been able to get any offensively. But so I think it's sort of a shift in personnel, a shift schematically towards more two high shells that has finally affected to a degree some of the passing offenses. I think that's probably the biggest explanation, to be honest with you, not an influx of young quarterbacks and them struggling. I think it's, maybe the game's evolving back toward the running back a little bit. I wouldn't get carried away going in that direction. I wouldn't expect a repopulation of fullbacks necessarily around the National Football League. But it is interesting, and I think when we get a little deeper into the season, you know, when we can get to say 8-10 games and look at the data, then that'll be probably a little bit more revealing.
Brad, really enjoyed your mailbag and your comments on a lot of the things going on with the team and all the questions that people have. I'm just curious, Ryan Bates. You said that. That you think it might be better to give him the extra day after the London game, the bye week, that it might be better for him just in terms of how he heals. It's funny because I think a lot of people are looking at it like you got to get that guy back as fast as possible. But when you're talking about the kind of injury that he has, you might want to try to get him back for good, right? That might be the bigger calculation rather than figuring out if you can get him back fast.
Yeah, obviously the goal with putting him on injured reserve was to get him, his body in a position where when he does return, he'll sort of get uninterrupted service. Now, could the guy be missing some practice time for maintenance? Absolutely. Once you don't want him to have happen is be missing games. The minimum amount of time that Bates is going to be on injured reserve will carry through that Carolina game. So that would, the Carolina game would be the fourth game that he's missed. That's the, you got to be on the shelf for four games if you're on IR. So if they simply keep him on IR for the following week, which is the Jacksonville game in London, then you got a bye coming out of that. You sort of, you miss one more game and you get two more weeks of rest. Plus, I would point out that he hasn't practiced a ton in the last month. Right, because he was out for a while, that he can't, he really only had about a week of practice before he played in the season opener. So I think it would be a little unrealistic to activate him as they head to London to play Jacksonville, expect him to practice a couple days in London, and then be good to go in that game with all that time missed. So that seems like almost impossible from a timeline standpoint. So that's why I would look toward after the bye, which the Bears come out of that bye with a trip to Washington to play the Commanders.
And you described that injury as an arthritic condition. I thought
That's been described to me.
So explain that if you could. He's got a shoulder, but it's an arthritic shoulder?
It's a shoulder. It's affected him in the elbow. It's something I talked to him about it after the opener, and he said, you know, that he's dealt with this before. He kind of knows what to do to manage it. And I think it just got to a point where it was going to be problematic for them. And they tried to rest him some in camp. So the hope is that some time off here. And again, if they carry him through the bye week, you're looking at, you know, the guy could have like 6 weeks off, get him in a spot where when he does get back out there, again, you've got him available on a week-in and week-out basis. Not ideal, but it's the spot they're in right now.
Great stuff, Brad.
Appreciate it, Big Z.
Have a great day, guys.
So I'm just trying to wrap my mind around that one, David. Arthritic condition in his shoulder, it's affected his elbow. Does that mean he couldn't come back and play center? That he'd have to be a guard when he comes back?
I don't know if you want to be changing centers in midseason. And I don't know if you want to do it with a guy who's prone to injury and missing more time. If you're bringing him back, I would think that it's in a rotational way until you're convinced that he is going to be healthy. Either way, if this is an arthritic condition, what did the Bears know about it and when did they know it? That's the basic question you have to wonder. They pursued Ryan Bates for several off seasons, and I don't think that things like an arthritic condition are the types of maladies or diagnoses that come up just suddenly. It seems that as much as these guys go through the medical paces, maybe that's an unfair thing to say or suggest, but I do think that typically if you have an arthritic condition, it doesn't just crop up when you join a new team and they give you a different type of physical or a different set of eyes.
Why are you trading a pick for a guy that has an arthritic condition?
Did you know that he did have that? I don't know.
If they didn't know that, then that's on them.
These are valid questions. And the bottom line is that if you have a problem on your offensive line and you're bringing in somebody who's iffy health-wise and has yet to play the position at the NFL level, that's not a great time. And it shouldn't fill you with any confidence that it's going to make it a meaningful change.
Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767. We'll be back with your calls on the score.
Well, Tevin's not out there today, but that's not going to be a change. So, you know, Matt Pryor will be in there for him, but as we all know. But I would say that right now, no.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the voice of Matt Eberflus, Matt Pryor, practicing in place of Tevin Jenkins, but not expected to start on Sunday.
Nope. Tevin Jenkins likely to play through whatever pain or discomfort that he's experiencing. Mm-hmm. We'll wait and see how much practice time he gets. I understand why people would be clamoring for changes on the offensive line. I think we all have seen enough of Nate Davis. But I also think that what we just heard from Matt Eberflus in terms of Matt Pryor filling in for Tevin Jenkins is also related to the reasons why, or the reason why, there will be likely no change to the starting lineup, because if Tevin Jenkins comes back, he'll be at left guard. Matt Pryor has practiced there all week, needs to be ready in case Tevin Jenkins can't go. And the most likely change that would have occurred, Mully, would have been right guard Nate Davis. Maybe Matt Pryor goes in, he's got starting experience. If you can't have practice time with a new makeshift offensive line or reconfigured one, you don't want to go in a game and have that mix for the first time playing together. So I get it. Everyone wanted a reaction to what happened Sunday night. Matt Eberflus looks at this as an opportunity to get well.
And we should let you know our segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. David, I think that the offensive line issues obviously run deep. And obviously, when you hear the head coach say that there's nothing that has changed what their opinion is of this thing, I'd like to go back and talk about what their plan was in the offseason. And the idea that they went out and they brought in Ryan Bates and they made a trade for him because they were going to make him their center. And then they ended up signing Coleman Shelton as kind of a backup to their major plan, which would be Bates at center. Now, Bates not available and is on the injured list, and as Bigsy tells us, has an arthritic condition in his shoulder and probably won't be back. The thinking is if they allow him to not play through the game in London, then they can come back and have the bye week and then hopefully have him for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So their plan wasn't to bring him in for half a season. Their plan was to bring the guy in. And you're right. I don't think they're changing their positioning with that player, since he never had time to get up and run it. But you look at what they wanted to do. And I'm not here to defend anybody that was here previously or any decisions that were made. But the fact is that they you know, Cody Whitehair, not part of their future. They get rid of Lucas Patrick.
Right.
Nobody complained about it. Lucas Patrick is currently the starting left guard for the New Orleans Saints.
How are they doing?
I believe they're scoring points at breakneck pace. They might be on a record-setting
pace. How's he handling that?
Actually
seeing touchdowns.
I mean, he's been coaching the guys in the locker room and in the weight room. He's been yelling, like, lift.
Great mentor.
I'm just saying.
Great landing spot. Who dat? The Saints.
Well,
look,
I'm not defending him. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So your point is, you're implying that the problem is with the Bears, and once the players escape this offense, they thrive elsewhere, is what you're suggesting. Whether it's Lucas Patrick or Cody Whitehair, is he playing with Vegas?
I think he's in Vegas.
How about Justin Fields? How is he doing?
But I mean, I'm not,
I know. No, let's stick
I'm not
the
calling
line.
The Bears the White Sox. That's not what my point is.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
right,
their offensive line decisions, have they been sound as we look at the way they're playing right now?
No, they have not been. And I've thought about this a lot since we have come out of the, you know, Texans game and the aftermath of that. And I alluded to this. Maybe it was yesterday. I'm losing track of the days here. But it is, what, Thursday?
How could it be Thursday?
Ryan Poles played offensive
impossible
line at Boston College. He spent 5 minutes in Bears training camp. And,
yes.
And he is...
They have a clip of it.
He is. He's an expert at that position. Would you accept that as a premise?
I suppose.
He played it.
Yes.
If there's ever going to be a position he's an expert on.
That should be.
Ian Cunningham, his right-hand man, the assistant general manager, is also a guy with a similar pedigree and past. And I do wonder this, and I think it was with Ruthie. I wondered this aloud, and I want to get your take on it, or at least impressions, because I think it's something to talk through. Ryan Poles, in assembling this offensive line, has put together an offensive line full of guys that are very much maybe like him in their background and makeup and composition. They're the guys that are going to make the bed in the morning. They're the guys that are going to be 5 minutes early, you know, and they're going to be the guys that you can trust and be responsible. They're the guys that you necessarily – they don't have a lot of nasty in them. The mentality is not a defensive mentality. It's an offensive responsible it's responsible and professional and very much between the lines. And I just wonder, the mix of an offensive line, you need sometimes Tevin Jenkins, who can play to the echo of the whistle, and he did that in college. I don't know if we've seen that as much here. I wonder if the mix in the offensive line is you've got a lot of good, nice, professional guys.
Oh, my God. That is about as damning a thing as I've ever heard. They have too many nice guys on the offensive line.
I'm asking rhetorically. Maybe by asking it, I'm answering it. I don't want to do that. I'm not trying to lead the witness.
But I find it fascinating.
I want to know what you think about that. Is there anything to that? We all have seen teams that – without that defensive mentality, without that nasty edge,
yes,
they suffer as a result. And I just wonder, with the Bears offensive line having a chronic issue year after year, year three of the regime that Ryan Poles is overseeing, the symptoms are the same.
I think, and I like the way you put that. I do. And I'm going to spend some time contemplating that one. I will. That will haunt me as I try to drive home.
Not trying
today
to haunt you.
No, it'll go through my head. It'll bounce around. But I want to say this. The problem that I see with their offensive line isn't necessarily the nice guy aspect. It's the injured guy aspect. They don't seem to have players that are able to line up and practice with each other in order to be good once the games begin. And then you look at today. You look at the guys that are on the injured list. There are three offensive linemen who are on the roster that are on the injured list. There's Tevin Jenkins couldn't practice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's Bates that can practice, but in limited fashion. And they've drafted a guy who's limited in what he can do. And like, just to quote Dave Wannstedt, do you want a guy that met the coach on the golf course or a guy that met him in a back alley somewhere? You know what I'm saying? Like it.
Well, Dave Wannstedt was basically essentially saying the same thing that I just asked out loud.
Yes.
When he talked about the background, and maybe it is an unfair thing to say about Karan Amagaji because he met Matt Eberflus at a country club on a golf course. I don't know if we're saying the same thing, but we're wondering the same thing. When are the Bears going to get an offensive lineman that is as impactful and consistent and available as some of these others you see in plug and play situations around the league?
You know, I
Darnell think, Wright maybe. Darnell Wright may be close to that.
He was awful last week. I'm just saying.
Well, there's that.
I don't know how we choose to defend him this week. Just after he got steamrolled.
But I want to believe he's part of the solution, not the problem.
I hope you're right. You're right.
If you're the Bears, you have to believe that.
He's not as good this year as he was last year.
Not so far.
And normally a guy improves from 1 year to the next.
I agree with that.
A young player. I just think that – I hope you're right. It's just after watching what Danielle Hunter did to him, and it was like they got involved in a gang fight, and it was the gang of Danielle Hunter just beating up poor lowly gang of Darnell Wright. He looked like he was taking on five guys. I mean, it was just a one-sided affair, and by the end of that game – it felt like Hunter was just going to run free to the quarterback that Darnell had no longer decided to get in front of him.
This is the wrong week to point out that Darnell Wright is their best offensive lineman.
Yes.
Because he did not play that way in a nationally televised game against two of the best, the tandem of edge rushers he's going to face all season long. So, but that doesn't change the fact that
kind he and is, intelligent Braxton Jones may have had the best game of these guys.
And he would have a great time explaining it because he's very
articulate.
Yeah, he's very intelligent.
Right,
his football IQ is off the charts. Why did that? Why is he the guy that they trusted early on in his career? Because his football IQ was off the charts.
Yes.
And maybe he reminded Ryan Poles of a certain someone back at Boston College. I don't know.
When you asked that question and the way you termed it and talking about Poles as an expert in this thing and the guys that he brought in, the only place my mind went.
I know where it went. I can tell you where you're going.
Where?
Ryan Pace and Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what is just that. That is what is going to haunt me. That is a specter now behind me that I kind of I glance to my right and there's a ghost there. I went out to dinner with the guy and he had an old beater of a car and he came to dinner and Foxy talked too much, but oh my God.
It's a blind spot for talent evaluators.
I'm no longer interested in hearing any words about Mahomes because I got Mitch and he reminds me of me and his journey is my journey and it's like
subconsciously people do that.
It's how a Phil Emery hires Mark Trestman.
It is because he reminds him of something about yourself that you respect and like.
You knew exactly.
At a certain time.
You did that. You planted that worm in my brain on purpose.
I sensed that was the direction you were going to go, and that's why I wondered if this was something that we were experiencing again or we're going to, because you have to be aware of your blind spots as in any role in any job. But I think especially when you're evaluating talent, there's so many factors to consider. And I just wonder when you're considering all these things, and Ryan Poles has done a terrific job, I think, overall. Overall, I think he's really put the Bears in the position to be good for an extended period of time. But I do think that this offensive line question is one that continues to nag him and bears the type of scrutiny we're giving it.
You just totally Kamala'd me. You knew exactly how I'd respond, and I took the bait.
I think you took the bait.
Then you made me feel like you read my mind.
I'm here for you, buddy.
Am I that transparent?
Oh, well, it's something to think about. We'll get back to eventually. We'll talk to Brian Baldinger about the Bears offensive line when we talk to him at 9 o'clock. We've got to talk to Chelly when we come back. Molly, at the top of the hour, I think we need to address this White Sox crisis that is getting a ton of national attention. ESPN.com's Jeff Passan wrote a terrific story. And this morning, if you want to check it out before we talk about it at 8, The Athletic has a takedown of the White Sox.
Let me tell you something.
They talked to more than 40 former employees employees, and it's pretty damning.
This story is not good for my blood pressure. You got me reading it while you're...
I'm baiting you again.
Here you go again. The reading the dogs. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador, the king of sportsbooks.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our BetMGM ambassador, Chris Chelios. Join us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're getting fired up.
It's hockey season.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But okay, let's start with that.
Well, camp's starting any day now. I guess today they're going to announce, or they've already announced, you know, Nick Foligno being the captain of the Hawks, which is great. Congratulations to him. It's a great honor. And Yeah, it's exciting. I'm heading there today to the practice arena to go for a press conference for Nick. So it's just around the corner, exhibition games in about 3-4 days. So looking forward to it.
I kind of was hoping they'd name Connor Bedard captain. I don't know why, you know, just because Taser was the 19-year-old captain. I just thought it'd be fun to get to it because he's the guy that's going to be here and be here a long time. That's not taking a shot at anybody. I just wonder why that is delayed. It eventually will happen.
I just think because of his age, and it's a lot to put on a kid. You know, I remember when I was named Captain Montreal, I was 26. And I don't think I was ready for it. It really affected the way I played. But I think there's no question it's Connor's team for the future. What a great year he had last year. And I think it's a good choice. You know, Foligno's there to just help him, mentor him, and take that burden off of him of all the pressure, especially with the way things went last year. They faced so much adversity. So, again, it's no question Connor's team, but this, I think Foligno's going to help him out, and eventually he'll grow into Connor, we're saying, is going to grow into a leader and a captain.
Charlie, I wonder if they made that decision because they figure they're going to be better than they were a year ago, and this is more than just about developing young talent, developing leadership skills for Connor Bedard, who already has many. But I wonder if this is a nod toward, okay, you got a veteran captain because you have a veteran roster, and this is going to be a team that contends or thinks about at least trying to make a run for the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no question. It's not the rebuild is over. They bring in Tara Vinen. You know, Taylor Hall was hurt last year quite a bit. Anathisio hurt. You bring up Patty Maroon for some toughness. The signing of Martinez back in the deep. This is a team that they're hoping, you know, is going to make a good run this season and get in the playoffs. And then, you know, like I've said before, anything can happen in the playoffs. But I would think they're, you know, they have every intention of trying to make a run for the playoffs. And if they can make some more moves to improve during the season, depending on the way it's going, they're going to do that.
Chris, how is the Bears season treating you? Are you ready to come out? That you just answered it. There you go.
I'm not going to quit on him yet, though. I still think the Bears' defense, obviously, been the bright side of what's going on so far in the first two games. But, again, you talked about Kalen Williams said he wasn't nervous. Well, if he's not nervous, he's scared, you know what. So, but, again, I'm not going to put the blame on him yet. He doesn't make the offensive line look good. Everybody kind of want to – they've been picking on the offensive line for years, but – you know, you watch when Badgett came in last year. He didn't get sacked. You still have to have some pocket presence, and he'll figure that out, Williams, hopefully. And the coaches, too, have got to make it a little easier on him, but I still can't understand whether not making Komet a bigger target for him and make it easier on him. He's a foot bigger than everybody covering him, and he's, you know, those tight ends are open most of the time, and at least it's an outlet for the kid when he's got pressure on him.
Scale of 1 to 10, where's your confidence level in Caleb Williams right now?
5. How's that? I'll give him a 5. It's too early. I think back when I started and my confidence wasn't good. It took about 12, 13 games for me to get going. So I can only compare it to my experience. So hopefully that's the case. And he still seems to have that, you know, he talks a pretty good game and knows he's got to be better. But the speed, you know, that speed that he's not used to, it's just a matter of time before if he can adjust to it, because it's like playoff hockey. There's guys that could play great regular season, but they can never get that next gear for playoffs, so which just remains to be seen if he's got that in him.
Okay, same question, only the offensive line. Where's your confidence level?
I just think they'll be better when he gets better. He still has to be aware of stepping up or stepping back or, you know, there's a couple plays there where he had no chance where, you know, the guys were on him right away. But if he had half the amount of sacks, it's much better than, you know, what happened. So I just think that they're going to get better too. But he has to help them out. And the coaches too with the play calling.
Will the Bears beat the Colts?
Nope.
Oh.
You picking the Colts?
Well, I don't know. I just the road and the way things are in their confidence – who knows? One game could turn things around for Caleb and the Bears. So I want them to win, obviously, but right now they're struggling.
Thanks, Chris. God bless you. Always fun to talk.
Okay, good stuff, Chelly. Change it. I could change.
No. I'm not disappointed.
You
David
pick the Bears
is.
All the time. I'm just surprised you were so definitive.
He's watching.
Yeah. I want them to win, but yeah, I don't like their chances right now. But anyway, it could turn quick. So
maybe
hopefully it will.
Maybe they beat the Rams if the Rams can suffer a couple more injuries.
Yeah, just anything can happen, right? So, yeah. But anyway, I'll be cheering for those Bears again this weekend. Unfortunately, you can't cheer for the Cubs anymore. It looks like they're out of it. So
they're done.
That's a rough one.
That's too bad.
Thanks, but Chris.
Anyway,
great catching up, buddy.
Take care, you guys.
That's Chris Chelios.
Wow. That was surprising. He usually is Mr. I'll pick the Bears every week.
Pretty positive. But
yeah, and his scale of 1 to 10, he's a 5.
They've pushed him.
All right, Molly, now it's time for our listeners to get involved. Now it's time for them to call 312-540-0670. They can be part of a live studio audience for next Wednesday, September 25th, our broadcast from 5:30 to 10 at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. We're going to be joined by, this is fun, this is an addition yesterday, Billy Donovan and Arturis Karnišovas, the coach and the general manager, the coach and his boss. Breakfast with Billy and AK.
Billy and the Boss.
8 o'clock, the 8 o'clock hour, all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And, Schmaltz Deli.
Yes.
Can't wait. Spreading deli goodness everywhere. I think I could smell it right now. I can't wait. So 312-540-0670, be the sixth caller, and come join us next Wednesday morning.
Is it a coincidence that AK joined us the minute Schmaltz signed up? Is that what we just
maybe. I don't know. He's a wise man. Good
That's
move,
right.
AK.
That's right.
Good
yeah.
move.
Billy and the Breakfast with Billy and the Boss. Come on. Who wouldn't love it?
Not bad.
I'm well over it. Mully and Haw on the score. Chris, how is the bear season treating you? Are you ready to...